We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bye, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowl. Covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And that clipped him on the way by. There's a break. Now Markakis will hit first and third. And now Musgrove and Donaldson are starting to jaw. And Donaldson just shoved Diaz away, and he wants a piece of the pitcher. Well, how about that for a little excitement in the first game of the homestand?
How about the Braves fighting for first place? As you wake up this morning, the Atlanta Braves tied for first in the NL East. And welcome to the show this morning as we see the Atlanta Braves bomb away at SunTrust Park. They hit our guys to clear the benches. We hit their guys to clear the bases. You, what up?
So you thought about that all night, John. You were coming in this morning with that one, huh?
Well, I tweeted that right after Acuña's grand slam, just so that you know. I just stole my own tweet.
Good morning, John Fricke. Yeah, man, that was a good game last night. The only thing I kept thinking about during that whole matchup, because I got to be honest, I switched over to watch the NBA about 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. Was that Kevin Gausman? Like, what'd he say? Chip Kerr say? He was the architect of his own demise. And I'm just like, man. And you know, last night Brian Snicker had a quick hook. He was like, listen here, man. I ain't got time for all this. Knowing that I got Keiko down here and you know, we're on a little bit of a timetable. And he was like, what? He was 7 innings, 1 hit at that point. Yeah, bro. You go ahead. Come on. Sean. Come on in. Let's see what you can do. Get the win. We got this. I ain't got time to be fooling around with you today.
Yeah,
like, basically, that's what it was. That's how it felt for Kevin Gausman yesterday. It's like it was no time to fool around with you and try to wait and see what you were going to do or were you going to get it. No, we ain't had time for that, bro. We ain't got time for that.
Some of the headlines this morning as you wake up on this Tuesday. Again, the Atlanta Braves. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Braves are in a tie for first place with the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies lost to Arizona last night. Braves beat the Pirates. We'll get into the details of both games in just a couple of minutes. And the other headlines, of course, include Dallas Keuchel's start in Rome at State Mutual Stadium in Rome, where Dallas Keuchel threw 7 innings, allowed only 1 hit, no runs, struck out 9, and appeared totally game ready for the Atlanta Braves. Another big headline if you're waking up this morning, there will be a Game 6 in the NBA Finals. Golden State wins, but at what cost? Toronto misses a chance to win at the buzzer where Kyle Lowry's shot goes off. They lose 106-105. It'll be Game 6 Thursday night in Oakland, but this is set against the fact that Kevin Durant is now out for an extended period of time with a torn Achilles.
You know what? I got to give my man, the guru, a shout-out this morning because he was adamant last week, John, telling me that it was not a calf injury. For Kevin Durant. I got to give him props because we went back and forth on Twitter about this. And I was like, dog, it's reported as a calf injury. And he was telling me that he walked around for months with a torn Achilles and didn't know it. He said so much so that he was even driving. And then to hear the reports last night that he possibly tore his Achilles and that they're getting an MRI today, I mean, it's weird. It's just extremely weird. I mean, you talk about him and how much time he missed for this calf injury, and then to go out there and actually tear his Achilles, it's unfortunate for him. And that's one of the main reasons why yesterday I said that if he didn't play tonight, well, last night, I would not hold it against him. I would not begrudge him or anything like that because that's a tough spot to be in. And this is the reason why what happened to him last night when athletes make the decision whether to play or not, you have to respect that because they know their body. You know, and he went out there regardless to how he was feeling.
He was playing great, by the
way. Yeah, he was. He played great, John, but you have to give your body a chance to heal up the right way. I was always told when I played that when your body is starting to break down, the other muscles tend to compensate for that area that's starting to break down. And what happens is they start to work harder. And when they do that, that's when something happens and they start to tear. That looks like basically what happened to him last night. He came out there playing great. He probably felt great. And then all of a sudden, it was just too much strain. Because when you look at how he did it, you're like, oh, man, that didn't look like much. He just tried to make a quick move, and we saw the video. So it's unfortunate for him that he's going to be out. He's not going to probably – his 2020 season is gone. I mean, it's a wrap. I don't know how much this is going to affect his money. Good thing we get to talk to Travis Slink today
If you're a Knicks fan, you are in a world of hurt right now.
Well, any fan that potentially is trying to sign Kevin Durant, because this is the thing, John. How does this affect his free agency?
Well, he's going to be on the Warriors. He has a player option at $31.5 million. He's going to exercise that. He'll be on the Warriors next year.
I mean, that's probably the smart thing to do. Or if you're ready to go, you know, try to figure out, test the waters. I can't see a team giving him max money knowing that he's not going to play for you for 1 year.
Yeah.
But to have him, that might be something that somebody might be willing to entertain.
Right.
To have him on the squad.
A lot of big headlines this morning. We mentioned, of course, the story about the Achilles injury to Kevin Durant. The Braves tied for first place. Dallas Keuchel's debut, which went swimmingly against an A-League ball in Rome. And the Falcons today open their mandatory minicamp at Flowery Branch, and they do so with Julio, Grady, Vic, and Dion all showing up for physicals. So Debo's there, Vic is there, everybody's there, present and accounted for the Atlanta Falcons. As mentioned, we have a busy show. There are a lot of headlines, and we also have a loaded show. We're going to be hearing from Alex Anthopoulos. If you missed the interview with Dukes and Bell last night, we have it, and we're going to play it for you in about 12 minutes. We have the interview with Alex Anthopoulos about the state of the Braves that Dukes and Bell did last night. So to the Falcons real quick as we get ready for today, tomorrow, and Thursday for this mini camp. What's the most important thing now in your mind, Hugh, when we say trying to get all these guys up to speed with the new coaches? Remember, three new coordinators, even though I know that one of the coordinators is their head coach, but three new coordinators and new parts and new puzzles.
Defense continuity, defensive flow, all of that. Just getting back up to speed with that. Getting Vic Beasley in the fold, getting him ready to go, Tack McKinley. Guys like that, that's it. Defense. Get them to the point where, they're back up and going, up and running.
And then, of course, we get to check on the health and the well-being of Keanu Neal and Rico Allen and some of the players that are coming back from injury for the Atlanta Falcons, though we don't expect a whole lot out of those guys in terms of their ability to, show us much of anything because of the fact that you're not going to be hitting anybody. You're just going to be kind of running around in shorts.
Got to play fast, though. That's the thing. Right, just play fast thing, right, and try not to make too many mental errors.
Because you got to trust it at some point, right? I think that's the big issue. I mean, we're talking about, like, on the heels of Kevin Durant, so to speak. Probably four choice of words there. You got to trust it, especially if you're coming off the Achilles like Rico Allen is. You got to learn to cut on it, You got to have faith that it's going to be there when you want to make a move.
But that's going to come during the season, though, John. I mean, it's only so much you can do. You want to get to a point where you're comfortable being out there, knowing that, everything is repaired, everything is good to go. But it's still another level when you actually get out there and start playing games and get that first contact. Right. When you get that first contact, usually after that, you're fine. Because the funny thing about injuries like that is when you start moving around like that, when the scar tissue starts to break up, you hear it popping and clicking, and you're like, make sure, am I good? Like, you start doing stuff like that. But it's just the scar tissue breaking up. So, yeah, you got to go through all of that.
All right, I know we're bouncing around a little bit because there's so many big headlines. Braves tied for first, Falcons opening minicamp. We're getting ready for Atlanta United to take to the turf again as we get set for the game tonight against Charleston. So there's a lot going on in town. But back to some of the other side stories over here, including the story regarding Big Poppy, because we have to kind of get into this just a little bit today.
Now, we're trying
to find a spot to talk about this because this story is so weird.
It's bananas. Now, wait a minute. Now, first of all, I apologize, but it's a situation where you don't shoot the messenger, because yesterday morning it was reported by his father, by some media outlets, that it wasn't that bad.
Right.
Because his father came out and said, oh, Big Poppy been here for a while. It's not that bad. Didn't hit any major arteries. But as the day progresses, John, they're talking about they had to remove stuff and his liver was damaged and all that. I'm like, hold up, dog. That, I mean.
6 hours of surgery.
Yeah, hold up. Yeah, that don't sound like a through and through to me. That sound like something major.
Red Sox send a life flight plane down to the Dominican.
Yes. And then another thing that had the red flag up a little bit. It said, it didn't say hospital. It said clinic. Now, I am not a doctor. But if I got shot, especially here in Atlanta, the first place I want to go is Grady. I mean,
it's just a level one trauma center.
I just want to go Grady. Don't send me to urgent care.
No.
I mean, I ain't got.
Doc in the box ain't going to cut it.
Listen. I ain't got nothing against urgent care.
Yeah,
or if I broke a leg or something.
Mini-clinic works.
Yeah, I ain't got a problem against urgent care. Yeah. If I got a broken leg, or maybe I cut my foot on some glass or something, and you know it's a deep cut or whatever. I ain't got no problem with that.
Yeah.
But when you start talking about through and throughs and bullet wounds, nah, bro. Hey, we're gonna see the life flight. Like what? No, send me to Grady. Send me to Grady. Yeah, you better send me to Grady.
Big Poppy's at Mass General right now, undergoing another round of treatment here because you know
another round.
And
of treatment.
I don't know if at the moment if he's in surgery. I would say he is listed in serious condition at Mass General.
John, that's the thing. You hear this story initially, and you hear the reports, and then you come back, and he comes home, and you're like, hold up. This is way worse.
Mm-hmm.
This is way worse
right.
than was that first reported.
Well, so they said it was a robbery, and then we see the video. This was a hit. It was a drug lord hit. I mean,
that's the reports.
That's what they're saying now.
The reports are that he was messing with somebody's wife.
But the police finally came out and said, no, this was a hired killer who targeted David Ortiz. He's just sitting in a bar and come up behind him and shoots him. This was not some kind of like hold up a random guy on the street thing where he popped him with a .22. This was an attempted murder. So, I don't know. Just really a wild, weird story. All right, we mentioned a lot going on. The Braves are in first place and tied for first place with the Philadelphia Phillies. Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager, got to be pretty pleased. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. We have that interview. We'll play it for you next with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
Was able to go 7. Probably could have gotten an inning more or maybe 9, but up and down 7 times was pretty good.
A fly ball, that's well hit. Look at that ball carry to the track, to the wall. Leaping try, it's gone. A home run with 2 strikes for Albies. First pitch swing and a rifle shot to center. That ball is going to fly out of here. It's a 2-homer game for Albies.
Braves hit 5 home runs last night and beating the Pittsburgh Pirates 13-7, and the Atlanta Braves now move into a tie for first place in the NL East. Boy, so much to talk about this morning. The Braves bats booming again, and a great night for the Braves to be hitting, but not such a great night for the Braves to be pitching because Kevin Gausman, not so good.
Yeah, but we kind of knew that was if he came out and did what he did, that you know the writing was on the wall of him. Just like Chip Kerr said last night, architect of your own demise. You knew that going into this, the way that the stars lined up, John, that you were going to be under the microscope and you were going to have a short leash. You did not help yourself out at all from the beginning all the way through for the 2 2/3 innings that you were out there. You did not help yourself. So you were the architect of your own demise.
All right, so we're asking about whether or not Dallas Keuchel, on the heels of a brilliant performance by all accounts in Rome last night, where he went 7 innings for the Rome Braves, didn't allow a run, only allowed 1 hit and struck out 9. Now, granted, he's pitching against single-A players, but at the same time, for a guy who said he's ready, is he really ready? Does he need another start? They've said he's going to get another start in the minors, either at Rome or most likely Gwinnett, but why would you, if he's ready, who's going to pitch Saturday night the next time the Braves are scheduled to throw Kevin Gausman? Would you put Kevin Gausman out there again, Hugh? Would you put Sean Newcomb out there? Would you put Tuki Toussaint out there? Or would you go ahead and fast-track Dallas Keuchel?
I'm thinking fast-track Dallas Keuchel. I don't know. I think last night was very, very telling what Brian Snicker did as far as having the short leash for Kevin Gausman. And I know we were talking about he's slated to start, but this is where I'm kind of torn with my decision. Watching the broadcast last night, there was a lot of talk about, you know, Keuchel getting another start with the before he comes back up. And with the performance of Kevin Gausman last night, I don't think there's anything else we really need to see at this point. I mean, unless you just want to try to give him one more chance because you want to make sure that Keuchel is ready. You don't want to fast track him too fast. I know that you said something about he has a clause in his contract where he's not going to be in the minors too long.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that maybe give him another start down there because they said it, and maybe give Gausman another run at it. But also at the same time, you look and see what you have last night, because Sean Newcomb didn't look that bad. He didn't look that bad in long relief for Gausman when he only gave you two
right,
and two
you
thirds.
You could swap Gausman and Sean Newcomb out of the bullpen.
I don't know. I think for Sean Newcomb right now, the mentality is different coming out of the bullpen. So maybe you just leave, like, if he has another short, if he has another night like that, yank him again and put Sean in there. I think you can still do that.
Braves general manager Alex Anthopoulos was on yesterday with Dukes and Bell talking about the state of the Braves, who wake up this morning tied for first place. And the interview begins with a discussion about the new left-hander. And first question out of the block, what was the turning point for you, Alex Anthopoulos, to make this move with Dallas Keuchel?
We've always stayed in contact with, you know, the free agents that are out there, and we were finally able to get a deal done. I mean, we had talked the week before the draft. We had put what we felt was our best foot forward. Wasn't going to be good enough, and that's fine. We moved on to other things, and, you know, day three of the draft, all of a sudden some things had changed and looked like there was daylight to get a deal done, so we agreed that we would just get through the final day of the draft and that I would check in with his representation the next day on Thursday. Checked in Thursday morning, and we probably got something done within 2 hours. And then it leaked once we had an agreement.
How close were the other guys to getting him? Because after we heard some other interested parties, how tough was it to snag him?
Yeah, it sounds like the Yankees were in there pretty deep, and I think, you know, we had a more compelling financial offer. That being said, you know, obviously, of course, I'm biased, but I do think this is a good place for him. Grew up a Braves fan, you know, played in the South, good infield defense, being in the NL, has a guy like Brian McCann that he's already caught to, so there's no learning curve there, having a new catcher. And then, you know, beyond that, we're a good young team, and it's a great place to play. So, and I think there's long-term upside as well. I mean, I can't tell you what our plans are for the winter, but you know, I think anytime we have a chance to get an impact starter, we're going to look at it. So, you know, there's only upside for him. We get to know him. He gets to know us. You know, maybe it's something that we decide to extend the relationship, and we'll be that much more comfortable after having had him here for close to four months, and hopefully for the same way. Again, I don't want to make any statements or predictions, but I do think there's some upside there as well, both for him and for us.
How soon will we see him with the big club?
So that we don't know. At a minimum, he has to be on option, so he was optioned as of Saturday. So he has to be, when you option a player, they have to be down there for a minimum of 10 days. They have to spend 10 days down there. The only way to come back sooner than that is if someone goes on the IL. So right now we don't have anyone hurt, and you know, hope that we don't. So that means the soonest that we could add him would be next Tuesday, if we were to even go that route. But we haven't made any determination. So right now he's just going to get out there and finally pitch in a competitive game. We're not going to necessarily look for anything. I think it's just getting some of the first out of the way and finally get going. Then we'll come up with a game plan of where his next start will be and when it'll be. You know, it could be Saturday. It could be Sunday. We may decide to give him a day more. Maybe it'd be Monday. I'm not sure. But we'll just take it day by day, see how he feels. We'll look at the forecast and the respective spots, and we'll get him to make one more start. And then after that start, we'll make an evaluation as well, and we'll just play it by ear, start by start, and we'll work with Dallas on it.
It's Alex Anthopoulos, guys. Double A is the general manager of our Atlanta Braves. He made the deal to get Dallas Keuchel, and I said starting pitching helps our bullpen. But, Alex, I still do have a question about the bullpen. And John Smoltz came on this show, and I said, Smoltz, I'm an old-school guy. I know you are. I believe in defined roles. The Luke Jackson thing is closer. I mean, I know we have limited choices. How do you feel about that where we are currently right now?
You know, our bullpen ERA is better than our rotation ERA. That's not to say that we're where we need to be. Obviously, we'd like to be at top end, top two, top three. We're not there. I think there's upside with the way some guys have thrown the ball. I know Luke Jackson gave up the hit to Prado, but overall his numbers have been very good. He's had some bad luck with some ground balls. Strikes a ton of guys out. He induces a lot of ground balls with the slider. Sure, blown some saves, no doubt about it. But I do think he's an impact reliever right now. If you look at the overall numbers, like I said, strikeouts, ground balls, can go multiple innings and so on. Mm-hmm. Look, it's no secret that we did talk to Craig Kimbrell's representation. He'd make every club better, including ours. Ultimately, you know, the years and the dollars got to a point that we just weren't comfortable going there. So we'll still look to add to the bullpen, but, you know, Anthony Swarzak's done a nice job for us. Sean Newcomb's done a nice job since he's been put in the bullpen. Tuki Toussaint, you know, take away that last game against the Marlins, has been fantastic out of the bullpen as well. And I do think overall the group is starting to get a lot better. And even down in Gwinnett, A.J. Minter's throwing the ball really well. Chad Sabatka is back from the oblique, and he's throwing the ball well too. So I feel like there's upside. It's starting to come around. That's not to say we won't look outside. We certainly will. But I do think there's some upside there. So, you know, we're going to continue to try to make the club better.
Alex, Fried and Soroka have been great, period. I mean, just incredible. But they're both young, and neither one of these guys have pitched over 150 innings. Is there a concern there? Will there be a pitch limit as we move closer to the end of the season?
Yeah, so we've talked about that at length, that, you know, one is just the injury component that we'll continue to watch them. But even taking that away, even if, you know, they're healthy, which we hope and expect them to be, there may just be a fatigue component that, you know, come August or September, they just don't perform as well, even though they could take the ball. So we're well aware of it. We're mindful of it. We're trying to save bullets any place that we can, whether it's taking them out of games early if we have a nice lead, whether maybe we need to skip a start down the road, skip bullpens in between, give them extra days between rest. But we'll certainly watch that. We've talked about it with Dallas right now because we do believe ultimately long-term in Gausman, Folty, and so on. We could go with a six-man rotation. Now, hopefully all five starters are when Dallas is ready to join us,
right.
Hopefully all five guys are throwing the ball well, and we don't want to take anybody out and make a change there. So we've talked about potentially going to six-man. That could be a scenario. So we haven't committed to anything. We haven't made any decisions. But we're well aware that how well Soroka and Fried have thrown. You know, we want them to be able to stay healthy, one, and then two, be available for us hopefully in October.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, guys, Braves GM with us here on Dukes and Bell, breaking it down. The bullpen, I mean, Tukey's look good at times in long relief. We were talking earlier before you came on. I mean, Sean Newcomb, will he have a chance to get back to being a starter, or is his role kind of in flux?
You know, right now we need him in the bullpen, but I do know long term, if you ask him, he'd tell you he'd love to get an opportunity to start again. Max Fried would have told you the same thing last year when he was in the bullpen for us. That said, they understand that every game counts, and you know, we're trying to put the best team out on the field, and you know, they'd rather be up here, even if it's in the bullpen, than be down in Gwinnett starting. So we absolutely have not closed the door on Sean being a starter again. You know, I don't know that that's going to happen in 2019. I guess it could. We wouldn't rule that out.
Mm-hmm.
It could very well be a scenario that we explore that come the off season, and you know, give him a chance to get stretched out again in the spring. But you know, right now he's in the bullpen. He's a key piece of that pen. But depending on how things evolve in the summer, we know we have the ability to move him right back into the rotation. He's more than willing to do it. And we have a lot of people internally, both to player development-wise and the current staff, that feel like the time he spent in Gwinnett, even this time in the bullpen now, they feel like he'll be that much better in the rotation now having gone through this.
Hey, before I let you go, Alex, I'll give you one of those great Sports Talk Radio hypotheticals. When will you be dealing? Are you closer to the deadline, or the deal is the deal? Obviously, you've got some guys that are going to be untouchable in the farm system, but you've already thought about, you know, another arm for the bullpen, maybe another starter?
Yeah, I mean, we would love to make a deal earlier than later. You always want to. Just dealing with other clubs at this point, it just feels like most things get done, deadlines drive things, and I think there's a component of teams that sell. There's a fan base component, an ownership component. You know, if those clubs are already not performing and by June some of their best players are being shipped away, that makes it for a long summer for the other players, for the fans, for the organization, for the owners. So I know there's been some talk that there might be deals done earlier. You know, I don't necessarily totally subscribe to that theory. I hope so, because we'd love to get deals done earlier. We'd love to have guys for a longer period of time. We'll certainly try. I just think that because sellers will have more time to play the market, I think they're going to use all that time.
It's going to be really a fascinating time and a sprint to the trade deadline, the Braves indicating that they will be buyers.
Yeah, this ain't over.
And they are tied for first place. We'll take another look at where the Braves stand with Dallas Keuchel and with this run to first place. Next with John and Hugh on this very busy and headline-loaded Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It was nice to get back out there, get some adrenaline pumping from game competition, and just try to execute as many pitches as I could. I mean, Logan did a great job behind the plate, and as a pitcher, a good catcher, a good backstop always makes your job a lot easier. So he did a great job, and was able to go seven. Probably could have gone an inning more or maybe nine, but up and down seven times was pretty good, and extended myself there for like 19 pitches, I think, in the last inning. So cut it off, but felt great.
Dallas Keuchel last night after he pitched seven innings of no-hit ball against Charleston for the Rome Braves. One-hit ball, no runs, one hit, and nine strikeouts. Now, granted, he was pitching against single-A talent at State Mutual Park up there in Rome, but nonetheless, Dallas Keuchel, it looks like he is game ready. And welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about where the Braves stand, tied for first place with the Philadelphia Phillies series this weekend looming in front of them.
Looming. I mean, I think you're in a good spot. Knowing that you have him and that he eventually is going to come up is probably a shot in the arm for your pitching staff. Knowing that, you know, you're going to get a chance to play with a Cy Young winner, somebody who's been through some tough spots that you could probably glean some information off of. So I think guys are pretty excited about having him here and having him a part of this pitching rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, he's a veteran that's got World Series experience, yeah. And that's why you picked him
and
up.
And he's chomping at the bit. There's no doubt about it. He's chomping at the bit.
So we're asking you on our Twitter at 929 The Game this morning, what do we do with Saturday's start against the Phillies? Because Kevin Gausman is slated to go. Now, last night the Braves built that big lead, and of course, Kevin Gausman sort of let the Pirates back into it momentarily before the Braves bats. Boom, five home runs last night for the Atlanta Braves. So if Gausman is slated to start Saturday against the Phillies, do you give him another start after seven consecutive starts where he has been rocked? Do you start Gausman? Do you start Dallas Keuchel? Do you start Sean Newcomb? Or do you start somebody else, maybe Tuki Toussaint, for example, or a Kyle Wright or somebody like that? There's a lot of hope that Keuchel would start here. Now, I know that some people are weighing in saying, hey, it's got to be 10 days.
Yeah, but there's ways around that.
We're not
rushing him, but when you look at how Kevin Gausman played last night, and, you know, he's slated to start again Saturday, and you've just tied the Phillies. I mean, that's a legit conversation. Now, I understand where everybody's coming from and saying, as far as, you know, going against, you know, the talent that you went against last night does not basically say that you're ready to go against major league talent. I get all of that. But at the same time, if you wanted to push the issue, and even Alex Anthopoulos said you could put somebody on IL and then bring him up that way. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I would like to see him get one more start like we talked about. But at the same time, you have to realize that if you wanted to work around this situation, there is ways around it.
Right. I mean, because we're talking about a game against the Phillies here. Now, you have to kind of weigh two things against each other. I mean, you could find somebody that magically could go on the injured list, okay? You just could. Now, will it be likely that Keuchel would start another game in the minors, maybe in AAA, for example? Yes, it's likely. But considering the enormity of the game, even though it's still the first half of the season.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I've always been of the mindset that there's still a lot to play for. You don't want to rush anything. Now, it would be lovely. It would be great, especially for the fans, to see Keuchel up. But there's no need to rush. Because when you think about it, John, to be fair, you're sitting in a pretty good spot almost at the middle point of the season. Mm-hmm. We're almost at the middle point of the season. You're mm-hmm. in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, time
for first. And you know to have him on the back end of that, it's hopefully only going to get better. So I would say, if I'm staying in the same vein that I've been in the same lane that I've been in all season long with the Braves, and, you know, not p- pushing the panic button. I say, yeah, let Gausman start again. I say, let him start again.
See, and I would think it's interesting that how you vote on this. As much as I would love to see them fast track Keuchel, and suddenly somebody goes, oh, yeah, you know, I'm on the injured list, and Dallas Keuchel can start Saturday against the Phillies. Anthopoulos did say that, you know, hey, you know, Sean Newcomb, is the plan's not to start him. And then he turned around and said, well, but you know what? I mean, if we had to, we had
well,
to.
Well, I think you saw a couple of things yesterday. Sean Newcomb looked more comfortable in the in that position coming in, what was in the third inning, coming in then and being able to stretch it out more so than he did as a starter. So that's a good thing. So, okay, let's say, for instance, the same thing happens again Saturday night. You know you got somebody out there whose mentality is totally different, that they can handle that situation.
You know, that's a fair point. The only thing is, you know, last night, and you know, that's a really good point by you, is that last night they waited too long. If you're going to have that, if you're going to start Gausman on Saturday against the Phillies, that hook is like one batter.
Well, it was, to be fair, John, that hook was pretty quick last night. Well, when you think about Brian Snicker and the kind of manager that he's been all season long,
right?
Especially when it comes to his pitchers, that was the quickest that we've ever seen a hook. That was pretty quick. I mean, sometimes he'll leave him out there a little bit too long and let the game get out of hand. He has an ace in the hole now, and last night I think that when you saw Sean Newcomb do his thing, that gives you more comfort in knowing that you got a guy who has the mentality now. If you need him to stretch him out long, you can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's what we got. We got two good things last night. We got the first report on Dallas Keuchel and what he was down there in what Double A, and now you see Sean Newcomb in the role that he's in now. He looks more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to stretch him out, you can. I think there were two things going for you last night. And Gausman, still on the clock. I think right now he's on notice. Because to have that, you as a player, when you're out there and you're sensitive to the shifting of the wind shifted for him last night. I think with that quick hook that Snicker had, he knows right now, like, listen, bro, like if there was ever any doubt of who was the odd man out, last night it was clarified for you that you are the odd man out. There's no question about that. Folty, they still believe in Folty. They think that Folty can get it done. But you, brother, you are the odd man out. And if you don't get it done, if you don't show us something, you're probably going to be in the bullpen. You're going to get your mind right in the bullpen, which, you know, it's a possibility he can move him back up. But you're going to get right in the bullpen.
No, you got Mike Foltynewicz going against Chris Archer tonight as the Braves try and make it three in a row against the Pirates and maybe grab sole possession of first place. Now, what happened with the Phillies last night? The Phillies played the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Phillies go out there and give up a home run to start the game. These home runs in Major League Baseball are out of control. The Arizona Diamondbacks hit three consecutive home runs to start the game. A day after, there was a one team that hit four consecutive home runs, and the Diamondbacks became the second team last night, became the second team this year to hit eight home runs in a game.
What did they call that? The live ball era?
Man, I don't know what's going on here.
It's,
but
it's jumping.
The Phillies and the Marlins combined last night, Diamondbacks combined last night for 13 home runs. That's a new major league record. 13 home runs in one game. Marlins, why am I stuck on the Marlins? Diamondbacks ended up winning the game against Philadelphia. 13 home runs. Hugh, the home runs, Braves hit five last night, and people go, okay. You know, wow, the home runs are just, it's amazing what's going on in baseball right now. They set an all-time record for the most home runs in Major League Baseball for the month of May with 1,135. They may set a record for June.
Well, they say chicks dig the long ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they like. They like.
You know, nobody's actually reporting on this. Why are we all of a sudden having all of these home runs in Major League Baseball? I mean, it's just becoming like commonplace. I mean, guys are hitting home runs like it's like they're on sale at Kohl's. I mean, it's
maybe they're seeing the ball better, stronger, maybe more power. Making better contact. Who knows? I have no clue. But it's great. I think it's great for the game. I definitely think it's great for the game, especially off the heels of you having your best financial windfall season as of last year. I think it's tremendous for the game.
No, yeah, it's good for the game. There's no question about that. But boy, is it! It's just interesting to me that nobody's going, you know, asking the question, why are there so many home runs? And isn't it interesting that while Christian Yelich leads the major leagues with 24 home runs, nobody's having one of those McGuire years or you know, the Bonds years. It's, you know, I mean, one guy may hit 50 or multiple guys.
You don't
want to
be too, I would think in this day and age, where you don't want to be too good. You don't want to hit too many home runs. You want to kind of stay, you want to kind of stay with everybody else. No, man, because who was it a couple years ago? The guy who, I can't remember what team he played for. He got off to, it was last year. He got off to a quick start hitting home runs, and they started testing him like back to back. Can't remember who it was. But I remember looking at that story because it was on television, and he was talking about how many times he got tested last year.
Right.
So yeah, you don't want to be too good. I don't think you want to do that.
Has Christian Yelich been tested this year? Maybe who knows?
I'm not sure, but you don't want to be that standout guy in baseball anymore because you know people start looking at you sideways.
All right, lots to get into today, including of course the story behind the NBA Finals and Kevin Durant's Achilles injury. Big story in Flowery Branch. Falcons are going to be opening minicamp, and Dan Quinn talked with Andy and Rob, and we'll have that interview for you next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
The shots that we're taking down the field defensively, the way we're going after the ball, the way we're going to go after the quarterback, that type of attack, not in one phase or in two, but in every phase.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.